the first century. And so we've been walking through, following the train of thought, and we're going to be continuing that here today in 1 Peter chapter 4. So let me take a moment and pray, and then we will dig in. So Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you for the gift that it is to us. And I pray that you would help us to not just allow this to be another moment in our lives that we just check off this thing that I went to church today and I heard the Bible talked about, but I pray that you, Spirit, would apply it to our lives. I pray that you would awaken in us just a desire to know you. We're not out here just trying to seek good behavior, to just stop doing things that are bad or whatever that even means. I pray that we would leave here with a hunger to know you, Jesus, our Lord. And I pray that you would give us the faith to obey the promptings that you give to each one of us. So Lord, we submit to you and we ask for you to speak in power now. In your name we pray. Amen. But hey, as we get started, I want to just put something in your mind for you to think about as we roll through today. And so the thing I want you to think about, let's try that. The thing I want you to think about is this. It becomes incredibly hard to navigate life when we feel disconnected from reality. So it's hard to navigate life when we become disconnected from reality. And so, just in case you're not aware, reality is what is actually true. Reality is what is actually going on, and reality defines or should be the basis for how all of us live our lives. But when we don't like what reality says, then we turn our back on the truth and we begin trying to search and live based off of our own experiences, our preferences. We try to reframe reality to like what we like and do what we want, right? And so, but the problem with that is it doesn't solve the problem with this is actually reality. So let me give a human example. If you go to, like, okay, so Marissa, my wife Marissa is pregnant, okay? She goes to the doctor and the doctor says, hey, there's a baby in there, okay? So now we're excited, or, you know, if she decides and says, I don't feel pregnant, does that change the reality that there's a baby in there? She can say all that she wants. If, you know, we are excited that we have a baby. I'm just using it as an example. The doctor said, I see the baby in there. That's the reality, okay? So now we live our lives based off of that reality. Same thing if you go to the doctor and they find something in your body and they say, hey, you have this in your body. We need to treat it. If you don't like that reality, you can't just pretend it's not there. But now we need to choose to live our lives based off of that reality. That reality changes the way we live our lives, right? And so the way we're seeing this played out in our culture is that Peter is telling us the reality. The Bible paints the picture for the reality that all of us live in. The reality is that Jesus is Lord. That's the reality. Jesus is King. And so Jesus has defeated sin, darkness, and the enemy. They're all done. He's the victor. And so now he is the head of all things. That is reality. So now all of us humans, we either live based off of what is actually going on, or we reject the truth and we seek our own way. That's what's going on in our culture all around. Just because you don't like the fact that Jesus is on the throne doesn't change the fact that he is actually on the throne. That's the reality. And so what begins to happen, Peter is trying to help these believers in the first century They've put their faith in Jesus, and now their life is going chaotic. Okay, their experience in life is not pleasant right now. They are having to move from where they've lived for generations, and not just because of, you know, bad weather patterns or something. It's because of their faith in Jesus, they're being persecuted. So now they're being upended and they're having to move. And when they move, now they're not able to get jobs because people are saying, no, you believe in Jesus, I'm not hiring you. So now that's adding financial struggle. Now they're trying to figure out and do this. And what Peter is trying to do with this letter of 1 Peter is he is encouraging them, like, hey, your experience is telling you one thing, but your experience doesn't change the reality. Jesus is king. Jesus is on the throne. And so that's why Peter, what we've read over the last couple chapters, that's why Peter says, hey, we are foreigners. We are strangers. We are a bunch of misfits here on earth because this planet is not our home. For those of us that have put our faith and trust in Jesus, this isn't it for us anymore. Therefore, he's trying to encourage them. If you're going through chaos, it's okay. If that leads to your death, it's not the end for you. But because Jesus is king, we can trust him even when life goes crazy. But the problem in our world, we're living out the book of Judges. You guys remember when we walked through the book of Judges? We're literally living out the days of the book of Judges. What was the repeated theme that came up constantly throughout the book of Judges? Everyone did what was right in their own eyes. Is that not what we're living in right now? And so what we have is this culture and this world at large that is rejecting the reality, which is Jesus is king. They don't like that. So now we have all these weird things going on all around us. People are believing all these weird things because they don't like this reality, so they want their own. And they're trying to define things based off of their preference, their experience. And we see this world going crazy. You can't go out anywhere and say anything because you offend everyone, right? And so what Peter is trying to do is that in the midst of this world that seems like your experience isn't great, it doesn't change the reality of what's going on. Jesus is victorious, and we get to share in that victory. So we need to trust him even when life is hard. We trust him. What happens is, what we see this played out is, as believers and even people who don't believe in God, when we're wrestling between this reality and our experience, what happens is we struggle with two different things. We struggle with a lot, but we all struggle. I mean, that's for real, right? But there's two things that I want us to draw our attention to. And one is loneliness, and the other is individualism. Okay, so I'll explain those. But what happens is when somebody that's not in the church, when they come to grips, they don't feel like they belong anywhere. They are rejecting Jesus, or even if they don't reject Jesus, but they're trying to figure out where they fit in with this world. They don't feel like they have very many friends. They don't feel like they fit in any group. They don't feel like this. They may feel like they're alone, right? This is rampant in our children and our teens and our 20-somethings, just so you're aware. In case you're not aware, you've been under a rock, I just want to make you aware of this, that this is what's going on in our middle school, high school, college, and after college age kids. That's weird to say kids because I'm out of that now. But, right? But yes, all right. That's what's going on. There's this battle of, like, there's this loneliness. And so what happens when we feel like we're alone? What happens is we search for anything to be able to find some place that we can belong. And listen, as the church, we've done a horrible job with this, right? Because there, I'm just going to speak in general terms because this is on the internet and we'll get this taken down if I go where I want to go. All right. But I'm just saying, The church has done a horrible job with this. And so we have this younger demographic of kids that feel like they have no idea where they fit in this world. And so they're looking for anywhere and anywhere that will find them validation and give them any kind of identity and make them feel like they belong. There are communities, there are communities out there that embrace them with open arms. And now all of a sudden, they're acting in totally different ways. They're embracing different lifestyles. I'm telling you, speaking in code. They're embracing different lifestyles. Why? Because that community is giving this false narrative that say, oh yeah, you could do what you want and we'll accept you here. You do you, boo boo. You just do your thing and we'll embrace you. And listen, it's fun. We can laugh at that, but I'm just saying it's dangerous. The enemy is just attacking our young people like crazy because they're leading them away from the truth of God and they're allowing them to think that they are God themselves. And so we have this community that's marching our young people straight to the pits of hell, and we as a church aren't doing anything about it. And so... Whoa, Chris, you just took a day. I did. I tried to tell you a little bit, right? But listen, even in the church, we feel like we're alone at this. We aren't living out the reality of what Peter and what the rest of the writers in the Bible invite us into. If you're here as a believer and you've been with us for a while and you feel alone in your faith, then man, I am sorry. We failed you. The people around you have failed you. Because you shouldn't feel alone in this faith journey. You shouldn't feel judged in your faith journey. We are all a mess that God has redeemed, and therefore we are in the process of becoming less like ourselves and more like Jesus. And so we failed this. So Peter's going to speak to this loneliness. But then individualism. Right, we don't need to go to individualism outside of the walls of the church because we've already been done there. Okay, that leads it. You do whatever you want; no one can tell you. Okay, but within the walls of the church, within the household of faith, we've made our lives all about ourselves, and we've believed this lie that our faith only impacts ourselves. We live that reality. Like, hey, I can't ask for prayer about this because I don't want to burden this person over here. They don't need to know my mess. But what we're doing is we're robbing the church and the ability for us to be able to be there for each other. Sometimes the very thing you need is you just need to open your mouth and be able to just say, hey, can you pray for me? And that thing that you've been struggling with, or that thing that your cousin has been struggling with, when you open your mouth and ask another believer to pray, there is supernatural things that God honors prayer. God honors prayer. My faith, the way I pursue God, impacts you. And the way that you pursue God impacts me. It affects and influences the people around you. And so that's where we're going to go. Peter is attacking and dismantling this loneliness and this individualism. And he's saying, man, our faith in Jesus, the fact that Jesus is king, now all individualism is out the window. Now we are on team Jesus, and now we're out here just trying to help each other stay focused on Jesus and put away our sin. Push back the darkness, not participate in it. Receive love from God when we feel like we deserve punishment. You know, it's all this. It's helping people stand. We're all on the same team. We're all in the same journey. We're just at different spots along the way. And so what I want to do is I want us to be able to, I'm going to give us the main idea right now, and then we'll build off of that. But this is the main idea of today's lesson. The main idea is this: stay close to God to help others grow. Stay close to God to help others grow. And so there's a two-part reality to that. So whose responsibility is it for me to stay close to God? Mine, right? So I stay close to God. What's the rest of it? To help others grow, right? So there's this individual. There's a weight for each of us, but then as I'm staying close to God, then God flows and God's able to use me to help other people grow. So that's where we're going, all right? That's where we're going. So in 1 Peter chapter 4, we're going to start reading in verse 7. I want to have all of that in mind, that Peter is trying to say, hey, the reality is Jesus is king. Now we got to walk this thing out together. We got to walk this out together. So 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 7. He starts off like this. He says, the end of all things is at hand. Therefore, be self-controlled and sober-minded for the sake of your prayers. Above all, keep loving one another earnestly, since love covers a multitude of sins. Show hospitality to one another without grumbling. As each has received a gift, use it to serve one another. As good stewards of God's varied grace, whoever speaks as one who speaks oracles of God, whoever serves as one who serves by the strength that God supplies, in order that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. To him belong glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. So what is Peter doing? He's continuing where we've been for the last couple of weeks. He's finishing this thought of Jesus has defeated sin, the devil, and death. Christ is king. So he's going off of the reality of that. And now he's concluding this thought by saying the end of all things is at hand. Another way you can write that is the end is about to unfold. Right, so why is Peter saying that? That was like 2,000 years ago. Did the end come? No, we're still here, right? So is he lying? No. What Peter is doing is he's saying, hey, by the very fact that Jesus died on the cross, then resurrected and took back his life and defeated the devil, defeated sin, defeated death, the very fact that he did that, now he's ushering in the kingdom of God. So Peter is saying, now at any moment, Jesus can come back. So he's not trying to make us all be paranoid that, oh gosh, the end is coming. But what Peter is doing is he's saying, hey man, since Jesus is king and he proved that, now this thing's about to all unfold. So he's almost saying, hey, it's the fourth quarter. Now we've got 2 minutes left and we have to make every second count. We don't get afraid of the days to come, but we see we're motivated by the fact that we've already won. So it's go time. We don't participate in the darkness around us anymore, but we participate with Jesus in bringing his kingdom here on earth now as it is in heaven. So is that not what Jesus asked us to pray in the garden? Right? God, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, right? So it's this now that when we put our faith in Jesus, now it's suddenly eternity starts now. Like right now we're in it. If you have your faith in Jesus Christ, like boom, now we're here and our job is to bring heaven here now. And it's not this obligation to make you feel like a horrible person, but it's because the more and more we are convinced of this reality that Jesus is king, the more and more that we're like, man, everything in my life needs to be about that. Time is short. People are lost. Sin is deceptive. Now we need to go. We need to push back this darkness. We need to rescue the lost. That's what Peter is doing. And I can't help but think, you know, Peter, what do we know about Peter? Was he a sissy? No, he would slap you in the face and then be like, maybe I shouldn't have done that. And that's kind of how he is. Right? Okay. So Peter has this conversation with Jesus when Jesus was still on earth. And Jesus is telling Peter, man, like, I'm going to build my kingdom, right? My kingdom is going to be built, and you, Peter, you're going to be the rock that I build this church, right? Well, go back and look at the location where they're having this conversation. It's at this mountain called Mount Hermon, okay? And this mountain is believed to be like the center of where all darkness unfolded on the earth. Okay, you could read a whole lot. It's a deep rabbit hole. Ask Chris about it later. All right. But The reason Jesus didn't do things accidentally. He had this conversation with Peter at the place where evil was supposed to be, the entrance of hell. Okay. He's having this conversation with Peter. And what does he say to Peter? Does he say, "Hey, Peter, my church might just be able to stand"? No, he says, "Peter, the gates of hell where we're standing in front of right now, they're not going to be able to hold us back. The gates of hell will not be able to prevail against us." So what do you use a gate for? You're not out there smacking somebody with a gate. You're trying to keep somebody back. Right? And so Jesus is saying, "Peter, do you see this?" So now Peter, I think he's having this conversation in his mind as we're having this conversation now as we read this. Peter's like, "Man, the darkness has lost. Like, guys, do you get this? Like, we get to go punch the darkness in the face and laugh at them. Like, let's go." But too much, we sit back here and we're like, "Oh, I feel a victim. Oh, I can't do this. I can't live this out. Darkness is too strong." Peter is saying, "Man, if Jesus is king, he's won already. We have this authority. We have this power that we can live in light of. But we need to do that as we draw closer to him. As this is more and more of a reality in our lives, it affects the way we live this out." Peter's trying to invite us into understanding. He's inviting us into this deeper relationship with God. And so he does that by telling us, man, that we need to pursue God individually. Look at this. He says, "Therefore, because the end of all things is at hand, because Jesus can come back at any moment, what are we to do? How are we to respond?" He says, "Be self-controlled and be sober-minded." All right, so as we talk about that, I want us to think. Think back to when you were a child. All right, and think of like the wildest dream, like when you were real little in kindergarten and they were like, "Man, what do you want to be when you grow up?" And think of that thing, right? So we got some rock stars, some professional athletes, you know, whatever it is that you dreamed of. Little girls may have been thinking about their dream wedding, you know, whatever. So dreaming is incredible. And I believe that God does give us pictures of things that he wants us to accomplish while we're here on earth. So I'm not belittling dreams. So dream on. But guess what? Dreaming something doesn't make it happen. Okay? Just wanting to be a professional athlete never is going to make you be a professional athlete. Right? If you want to be a successful business owner, you can't just be like, "Man, I follow all the right people on social media. I listen to all the right TED Talks and I really want it, man. I want it." Man, that's really good, but you're still going to be broke, right? You have to grind. You have to put in the work. You have to fail. You have to spend way more money than you're comfortable with spending. You got to trust God. You got to lean in. You have to put in the work to be able to make that thing go, right? Dreaming is never going to get us anywhere. Okay, so buckle your seats because we're about to shift gears here, right? Why do we treat our relationship with God that way? Man, I want to get closer to God. Man, one day I'll be close to him. One day I'll be that better Christian, which what does that even mean? We have this, and we're here on Sundays, and we're stirred in our affections, and we're like, "Man, I got to do better this week." And then we just allow the enemy to kick us, to pummel us, to keep us exactly where we are, and we're back next Sunday, and then we go through the same thing. So what Peter is saying, man, if we want to live this out, if Jesus is king, then something has to change. And what he's saying is we have to be sober-minded. We have to learn to be self-controlled, right? We have to learn how to do these things. And so I want us to turn to 1 Thessalonians 4. And while you turn in there, you have to think about this, like, man, how are you going to grow? How are you going to get closer to God? And we can't just be like, "Man, I'm going to like hopefully be there one day." This is where we put in the work. This is where you have to find somebody around you that's sitting around you, or come talk to another person in this room and say, "Hey, I need to follow Jesus and I really stink at reading my Bible. Can you text me every day at 7 a.m. and just say, 'Hey, did you read today?'" If we don't know how to pray, then we need to ask somebody like, hey, I have no idea how to even start. Like, I genuinely have this desire to learn how to pray and communicate with God, but I don't even know where to start. What we need to take those steps and not allow those things to keep us from God. I mean, some of you, you feel the closest to God when you're not even doing anything, but you're sitting in the woods just like amazed. Well, guess what? That's part of your connection with God. Go do these things. And that's the beauty, that God isn't saying that you need to read your Bible for 25 minutes a day and pray for 16 and a half and then you'll be good. It's this adventure for you to be able to figure out how you connect with God. And that's the thing that Peter here is inviting us into, is like, hey, in order for us to do that, we need to be self-controlled. We need to learn how to say no to the things that are a distraction, that are eating up our time, that are keeping us away from God. We need to learn how to control ourselves and to get people to help us control ourselves. We need to be sober-minded. Well, I want you, this isn't just an idea that's only focused on Peter, but Paul talks about it in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. He says this, finally then, brothers, we ask and we urge you in the Lord Jesus that as you received from us how you ought to walk and please God, just as you are doing, that you do so more and more. So what is he saying? He said it in kind of a confusing way for us, but he said, man, you heard from us how to follow God. You're doing it, but don't just stay there. Keep going. He's saying, just as you heard from us, keep doing it. Keep following God. Learn how to walk and to please God. He keeps going. He says, verse 2, for you know what instructions we gave you through the Lord Jesus. For this is the will of God, your sanctification, that you abstain from sexual immorality, that each one of you know how to control his own body in holiness and honor, not in the passion of lust like the Gentiles who do not know God. Then I'm going to have you, if you're looking in front of you, go down to verse 8. Then it gets real serious. He says, therefore, whoever disregards this, disregards not man, but God, who gives his Holy Spirit to you. So is that serious? He said, man, if you disregard this, you're not disregarding me. You're disregarding God. And so this is like a radical call. So what is Paul inviting us into? He's inviting us in to getting closer to God. What did he say? This is God's will for you. Your big church word, sanctification, right? Simply put, that God wants you to be closer to him. He wants you to learn how to get closer and closer and closer to him. Well, what is keeping us from that? The sin that we opened ourselves up to, this world, right? Everything around us is trying to fight for our attention and keep us away from God. And so what Paul and what Peter are trying to tell us here is he's trying to just invite us to get to know God. It's not about stop doing this, but the way that we stop sinning is by drawing close to God. And so we need to learn how to control ourselves. We need to learn how to develop that self-control, right? But we don't talk about that as the church. Part of self-control is you need to have somebody to hold you accountable, right? Like if I know that I have a substance abuse issue, right? And when I'm stressed out and when I feel this way, it's my job and my pursuit of God to be able to get somebody to help me so that when I feel this way, I don't keep doing this. So I can reach out to my friend Chris over here and say, hey, Chris, you know how I told you that when I get stressed out and I get worried and I get overloaded, my temptation is this? Well, I'm here. So I need you to help me, Chris. I don't want to do the things I used to do, so help me. But we don't do that because why? We feel embarrassed. But Peter and Paul are trying to tell us that, man, what is on the line here is our closeness and our relationship to God. And so what we've done in the church is we make it two ends of the spectrum. There's only two kinds of people. There's the people over here that need a lot of help. All right. That's the messed up people. That's the ratchet people over here. All right. And then we've got the holies. We've got the people that they got it all together. All right. So you gotta, there's no in between. You're either holy or you're ratchet, and that's it. There's no in between, right? But the problem is that no one's over here because we're still on this side of heaven, okay? And the problem is over here that if we believe in Jesus, then we're not dead in our sin. We're not stuck in this. So therefore, all of us are actually in the middle, but we feel this prone. We've fallen prey to this, like, well, I can't let people think that I'm actually like this, so I'm over here and, you know, it's all good. I'm good. I'm holy. And so then we just keep our sin tucked low and we try to keep our sin private so that no one knows about it. And what is actually happening is by us thinking that we're appearing holy, we're actually drifting this way. But just trying to appear on the outside that we're this. And so the danger about this is I care enough about you to tell you this, that you're missing out on God. And so what Peter and what Paul are saying is like, hey, stop just suppressing this. Stop being ashamed of all the stuff that you've done. Stop being ashamed at where you're at. God knows where you are. You need the help, so let's get it. But then the other side, some of you are like, that's not me. I don't try to act this. Some of you are over here where you're like, man, I'm so messed up, I might as well not even try. And so both of these are just lies from the enemy. And what Paul is saying, what we need to be as a church is we need to be a people that are like, man, we're here in the middle. We all deserve hell. But for some reason, God decided to die for us and we get heaven. But now I want to know my God, but my sin is warring me this way. So I need help. Help me. Help me. I need self-control because if I don't have any help, I'm just going to keep sinning, keep sinning, keep sinning. And what they're trying to help us understand is like, it's not only that sin is bad, but it's that we're missing out on God. It's don't hear that we're just trying to be a group of people that want you to be perfect people. That's not what we're asking. I'm asking you. I care enough about you. Pastor Tim cares enough about you. I want you to experience God. If we would be able to be the people of God that this Bible writes about, I can't even imagine what God would do for this county, what God can do for this nation because of you in this room if you would begin walking with God and hating your sin. That's what he's inviting us into. The gates of hell won't prevail if we would begin walking with our King. That's what I want. That's what Paul and Peter are inviting us into. And then sober-minded, it's the same thing. It's learning how to think clear, right? What's the opposite of sober? Okay, same thing. Last service, you can't say drunk in church. I'm gonna get, okay, yes. Don't get drunk, that's bad. But I'm just saying, you're allowed to say the word in church, okay? Drunk, right? So what happens in your thinking when you're drunk? You're not clear, right? You're not able to walk clearly. Your judgment is off. And so what he's saying is, man, that we need to learn how to be able to be clear. And so what this is that as we get closer to God, he detoxes our thinking. He clears our thinking so that we unlearn all this sin that we used to do. And we're learning the ways of God. And so that's every single day what we're doing. I'm sorry back there. I'm making Tyler's job horrible. I'm giving you guys whiplash. I see you guys are like. But this is what the Christian life actually is it's a learning how to take a step closer and closer to God, learning the ways of the kingdom and unlearning the things we used to do. And we are going to mess up. We're going to fall. We're going to fall back. But the difference is we don't stay where we are and we ask for help and we don't judge because we're here on the same team trying to just get to Jesus. Get to Jesus. Follow him. So that requires work on your end. That requires work on my end. We must draw close to the Father. But Peter, he takes it one step further. And he says that we can do this to be able to stand together and strengthen each other. So the main idea today is draw close to God so you can help others grow. So we have the ability to strengthen each other. So go back to 1 Peter chapter 4. I'll read verses 8 through 11 one more time. This is where your faith isn't only about you. Your relationship with God is about all the people around you right now. And above all, keep loving one another earnestly, since love covers a multitude of sins. And so what is he saying? You can't love somebody earnestly from a distance. I mean, what Peter is trying to help everybody understand is that the enemy hates you. If you claim the name of Christ, the enemy hates you. Therefore, the world is going to hate you. And so we're going to feel like we're alone. And so Peter is saying, man, we are in this together. We're going to look different. There's going to be a whole lot of differences in us. We're going to be at different places in our journey with God. But what happens is we need to love each other earnestly. Be committed to each other. Be spending time with each other, depending on each other. He keeps on going. He says, as each one has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. Now, what does it say? Does it say only those who are really, really holy receive the gift? No, it says as each one, every single one of us has received gifts, talents, the abilities to be used by God. They're all different. And so what Peter is saying is that, hey, you need to be, as individuals, I need to be, you need to be so committed to your relationship with God, because it's not only about you. That the closer we get to God, the more that we allow God to flow through us and bless others. And so there's somebody in this church that God has blessed you with something that you're about to take this church to the next level, but you're sitting on it. You're not allowing God to flow through you. And what Peter is trying to say is, man, I need you to get close to God so that you could be a vessel for the grace of God to flow. Right? Like, if I don't stay committed to my walk with God, then I cannot bless Pat. I can't bless any of us. I can't bless Rashawn. I can't bless any of you. If I'm pursuing my sin instead of God, then what happens is my judgment, my focus gets focused over here. Sin. I want to do it more. I want to stay focused here. I feel guilty, so I can't go closer to God. And it's, I'm away. And what? That means that I'm not available to be a vessel for the grace of God to flow through me to you. But it's not just me. It's all of us. What you guys need from Pastor Tim and from myself is not for us just to stay busy. What you need of first importance from me and from Pastor Tim is you need our personal holiness, our personal connection, and our growth with God. And if we aren't staying focused on growing to God, then we are failing you. It doesn't matter what we do on Sunday mornings. It doesn't matter what we do throughout the week. If I'm not drawing close to God, then I disqualify myself. But if you're not pressing into God, then you're not going to be open to the Spirit to be able to call me out and be like, Chris, are you okay? Seems like you're off a little bit. And so you need from Tim and I our holiness so that when you guys come to us and there's situations that break out, Tim and I don't know what on earth to say. We're not any different than you. But what we're trying to do is just stay close to God so that when some kind of big situation that we have no idea the words to say, we're here and God, I'm like, God, just flow through me because I don't have the words to say. I have no idea what to tell this person right now. But because I'm trying to stay close to God, His grace flows through. His grace flows through. Then He gives me the words to say. He gives me a word to speak to us. He gives us the ability to protect our church family. And we're able to function in the role that God has placed for us. You need us to be following God. But listen, we need you. I need your faith. I need your commitment to Jesus to be able to bless me. Right? We're going to look at this next week. He continues on. Romans 12 is all about this. Man, we are one body. And if only one is functioning, then our body's dead. So we need each other because we're able to bless and encourage. And when we get closer and closer to God, we are more available for God to flow through and bless others around us. The people next to you need you and your relationship with God. They need you and what God is saying to you to be able to bless and encourage them. Man, would we be people that are pressing in to our relationship with God? What Peter's getting at is that we would draw close to God so that we could help others grow. So I don't know what that means for all of us as individuals. It means something different because we're all at a different relationship journey with God. God wants to know you and your heart, and he wants to speak through you exactly where you are. But if you need help following Jesus, if you need help learning what it means to be able to walk with him, then don't leave here today without asking somebody, be like, man, I don't even know where to start. Man, have that conversation. And if he's talking about being hospitable, having people over to your house. I mean, if you're only having somebody over your house like once a month and you're just having God conversations with other believers once a month, then you're getting your tail whooped. And you know it. You don't need me to tell you. We need to be a people that we're there for each other. That when we fail, we're there to be able to help each other stand. We need people in our lives that are committed to our relationship with Jesus more than they're committed to us. Yeesh. That's what God is asking us to be able to be as this church family. So that why? Because all the sin around us, this culture is just dragging us away. It's distracting us away from God. So we need to be able to protect and stand with each other. So would you? Don't feel overloaded with this, like, oh my gosh, Chris just made me feel like a horrible person. Man, all I'm trying to do is get you to understand the reality is Jesus is King. Are you living in light of that reality? I want you to experience the victory and the power and the love of God in your life, and I can't do that for you. But if we can help you, if we can stand by you, if we can train you, teach you, hey, this is what I do to be able to follow God. This is what works for me. Now let's have these conversations, because Peter's saying, man, the time is up for us to just keep on living the way that we used to live. The cost is too high. Sin is just roaring and people are just running away from God. So it's time for the Church of Christ to rise and get to know our King. So for you, we're going to ask the worship team to come on up, and they're going to lead us in a couple of songs, but this is your time. If you need to stay seated, don't care about whatever anybody else thinks. This is you and God, so you take this time to be able to talk. If there's something in your life that you're like, God, I've been holding this back, have that conversation with him. Talk to him. If you need to just take time to be able to sing, to connect your heart to him, and declare these truths over your life, then you do that. If you need somebody to pray with you, just come forward. We'll get somebody to come pray with you. But don't allow the enemy to keep you where you are. Jesus is inviting you to come and experience him. So let's draw close to God so that we can help each other grow. So Father, we thank you for who you are. God, I pray that you would be at work and do what you want to do in us right now. God, where we are out of alignment, I pray that you would be working on us right now, that we would repent and that we would turn, we would confess our sin to you, and that we would seek help from people around us to be able to keep us accountable so that we don't continue to live the way we've always lived. I pray if there's somebody here that is just overwhelmed with discouragement, I pray that they wouldn't leave here just trying to carry that on their own, but I pray that they would find somebody and that they would just take time to pray, to yield these things to you. Father, whatever is going on in each of our hearts, I pray that you would allow us to be able to be your people, even right now, to practice what we just talked about, to be able to be a blessing for each other in this moment. Thank you for destroying the enemy, for conquering sin and defeating death. And I pray that we would be able to have that be our reality and live in light of that. In your name we pray. Amen.